We're journeying together in this Advent season through Luke and looking at what does it mean to be connected with God and with our own lives, with our work, with creation, with other people. And I want to talk to you today about how to do that in the midst of very mundane things. I just had a moment of joy. I looked on the little very cool control panel on my desk, and Tim and Jackson somehow had put a little timer in there. So I didn't know about that. It's just a little gift. And now I will be much better at being able to try to get this thing done on time. And that relates very much to this notion I want to talk about of finding God in the mundane. One scholar puts it like this, that in the text that we're going to read today, even the mundane provides arenas in which the divine purpose can be realized. And of course, that's the incarnation. The Word became flesh. That's pretty mundane, in a manger, in a carpentry shop. So we're going to journey together. If you're up for it, on December 23rd, we're going live, 7 a.m. Pacific time. Nancy is joining me. And those are always times of great joy for the two of us to be able to connect with the Fellowship of the Withered Hand. And so if you want to be a part of that, we'll record it and you can catch up with it later on. But if you want to catch it live, that's when and where. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 22. And we're going to look at how we find the mundane, God in the mundane, how we do that in the tasks of life, and how we do that in our pain. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, you will notice how many references there are to the activity of the Holy Spirit in this man Simeon, associated with the coming of Jesus. He went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the light of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now, this news that this little child would be not just for the people of Israel, but prepared for all nations, all the Gentiles, all the pagans, all the people far away, this is quite extraordinary. That's why in verse 33, it goes on to say, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. He blesses both of them, but then he addresses these words just to Mary. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now, what's happening in this text is that Mary and Joseph are doing what any young couple would do. They are fulfilling the obligations of the law. They're seeking to be obedient to God and to what is needed and to what their child is required. So this process of, in their cultural context, circumcision and naming and purification, it's all summarized pretty briefly in this passage, and consecration. Firstborn was to be consecrated to the Lord. If you weren't in the tribe of the Levites, where that firstborn son would be a priest, you would give a price, like 5 shekel, to redeem that kid. Then he could follow in his father's footsteps or do whatever you wanted him to do. Interestingly, Mary and Joseph don't do that with Jesus. They're acknowledging, now he's not ours. He belongs to you, God. And it's in precisely just doing those ordinary mundane tasks that parents have to do that something extraordinary happens. Even the mundane can be an arena. We find God there, and there is a man, really good man, living with a great sense of hope, eager expectation of what is God going to do, and they find him there. So the place to start, if you're looking for Jesus today, if you want to find God, if you want to be connected, is just in the mundane. I feel very filled up over this most recent weekend. I got to go visit my friend Rick, and we spent hours just talking together. And I got to stay overnight at his place. I've done that in all the houses that Rick and Sherry have owned. They buy a new house about every 6 months or so. And then I went down and spent hours and hours and hours just talking with my mom. And that was such a rich thing to do this time of the year. So many memories and so much stuff to talk about. And then I spent about 6 hours with my sister Barbie, and just over coffee to sit and talk about matters of the heart and feel so deeply connected. By the time we were done, Barbie has a laugh that if you could bottle it, it would heal whatever ails your body and mind. And so when we were leaving, I felt so filled up. I said, you are just a wonderful human being. There's nobody in the world like you. And Barbie said, I know. She was expecting me to say, you know, our relationship is such a gift, but it just came, I know what a wonderful person I am. And we just howled with laughter, and I felt so connected. And then I got to preach the next day at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, and was supposed to talk about peace. And so I thought to just connect with this, instead of just talking about peace, God, how much could you fill me up with peace? Could I convey peace to the people who are here so that I'm connected with it? And many more people fell asleep while I was talking, kind of like Jesus fell asleep in the boat when there was a storm going on. That's part of what we talked about. So I think it happened. It was a time of just rich connection, and that's what we want to walk through. And what I want to say to begin with in that is don't look for the extraordinary. Don't look for an amazing insight or a deep emotional experience or something that you feel like you have to contrive. Just find him in the mundane. Today, make a bed, fix a meal, have a conversation with a friend, do a favor for somebody. I have a friend who just kind of threw a party for a person that was retiring and did it with creativity and flair, and it was such a gift and a deep connection. Didn't have to happen, but it did. And there is God there. There's a gift there. Now, when Simeon sees the child, he is moved by the Holy Spirit, and he knows this is what God has been promising to me. And there's two images that are used that are very, very striking. One of them is the image of a sword. He says, this child is destined to cause the rising and falling of many, and the hostile thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he says to Mary, and a sword will pierce your own heart too. Now, that's kind of an odd way to end a blessing, isn't it? And a sword will pierce your heart. Have a nice day. But it's very important that Mary understand as she walks through her life that there will be resistance, opposition, lots and lots of different sources of pain for Mary. Luke doesn't spell out at this point what precisely he means by that sword. But of course, ultimately, Mary's going to end up at a cross, at the foot of a cross. And that sword will be the greatest pain in her life until it's not. And that cross actually becomes ultimately the expression of hope and healing, which will be to all people. And that ministry that Jesus has of revealing the hostile thoughts of many, that's not just those bad people out there. Those are my thoughts. And what happens when he comes to me in the mundane moments of my life is I have to decide now, in this moment, do I just want to get my way? Do I not want to be troubled or interrupted by the needs of this person or the task that needs to be done here? Do I want to use deceit to lie to somebody else so I can get what I want? Do I want to look at what I shouldn't look at or consume? Jesus just does this for us. But then the other image that Simeon uses is he will be a light. There will be a radiance to him. And part of the gift of connecting with God is that it brings light inspiration, radiance, a kind of flair, creativity, not aloneness, being together with God in just the very simple tasks of life from one moment to the next. Bonhoeffer talks about this in his little book, Life Together. He says, we're called to simple assistance in trifling external matters. There's a multitude of these things wherever people are together. Nobody is too good for the meanest service, the smallest service. One who worries about the loss of time that such petty outward acts of helpless entail is usually taking the importance of his own career too solemnly. So today, allow the most mundane activities, tasks, people, moments to be the arenas in which a divine purpose can be realized. And then the light comes to you. There is a prayer that Dallas Willard would offer for his students when he died. It was written on a little bookmark and passed out to folks. My prayer for you is that you would have a rich life of joy and power with an abundance of supernatural results, with a clear, constant vision of never-ending life in God's world before you, and of the everlasting significance of your work day by day, a radiant life and death. Wait a minute, back up the truck there. A radiant death? Uh-huh. And we see this with Simeon. Now the light has come, and Simeon says, now God, you can dismiss your servant in peace, because I have seen what I have longed to. Jesus has already begun to transform death itself, and that sword that will pierce Mary's soul, that ultimate pain, will be the source actually of the joy that will bring life to everybody in the world. The light has come. My 12 minutes are up. Rejoice, the Lord is with you.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team here at Become New, and I live in Minnesota, so it's freezing where I am. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future teachings from John as we walk through the Christmas story a few verses at a time. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to find more teaching just like this. And if you've got a prayer request, please text it to us so we can pray for you. You can text it to the number 855-888-0444. Thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time.